Hi, it's Pastor Rick. This is the liturgy that was for January 28th, 2018. We'll start with 1 Corinthians 8. This is from The Message. The question keeps coming up regarding meat that has been offered up to an idol. Should you attend meals where such meat is served or not? We sometimes tend to think about we know all we need to know to answer these kinds of questions, but sometimes our humble hearts can help us more than our proud minds. We never really know enough until we recognize that God alone knows it all. Some people say, quite rightly, that idols have no actual existence, that there's nothing to them, that there is no God other than our one God, that no matter how many of these so-called gods are named and worshipped, they still don't add up to anything but a tall story. They say, again, quite rightly, that there is only one God, the Father, that everything comes from Him, and that He wants us to live for Him. Also, they say that there is only one Master, Jesus, the Messiah, and that everything is for His sake, including us. Yes, it's true. In strict logic, then, nothing happened to the meat when it was offered up to an idol. It's just like any other meat. I know that, and you know that. But knowing isn't everything. If it becomes everything, some people ended up as know-it-alls who treat others as know-nothings. Real knowledge isn't that insensitive. We need to be sensitive to the fact that we're not all the same level of understanding in this. Some of you have spent your entire lives eating idol meat and are sure that there's something bad in the meat that then becomes something bad inside of you. An imagination and conscience shaped under those conditions isn't going to change overnight. But fortunately, God doesn't grade us on our diet. We're neither commended when we clean our plate nor reprimanded when we just can't stomach it. But God does care when you use your freedom carelessly in a way that leads a fellow believer, still vulnerable to those old associations, to be thrown off track. For instance, say you flaunt your freedom by going to a banquet thrown in honor of idols, where the main course is meat sacrificed to the idols. Isn't there a great danger if someone's still struggling over this issue, someone who looks up to you as knowledgeable and mature, sees you go into that banquet? The danger is that he will become terribly confused, maybe even to the point of getting mixed up himself in what his conscience tells him is wrong. Christ gave up his life for that person. Wouldn't you at least be willing to give up going to dinner for him? Because, as you say, it doesn't really make any difference. But it does make a difference if you hurt your friend terribly, risking his eternal ruin. When you hurt your friend, you hurt Christ. A free meal here and there isn't worth it at the cost of even one of these weak ones. So never go to these idol-tainted meals if there's any chance it will trip up one of your brothers or sisters. The gospel reading is Mark 1, 21 through 28, this through the interpretation of the message. Then they entered Capernaum. When the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were surprised at his teaching, so forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religion scholars. Suddenly, while still in the meeting place, he was interrupted by a man who was deeply disturbed and yelling out, "What business do you have here with us, Jesus? Nazarene? I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us." Jesus shut him up. "Quiet! Get out of him!" The afflicting spirit threw the man into spasm, protesting loudly, and got out. Everyone there was incredulous, buzzing with curiosity. "What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says? He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing." News of this traveled fast. It was soon over all Galilee. Our communal prayer that day had the response from the congregation, "Lord, have mercy." What have we done, Lord? We want to praise you, so we come together, we sing the hymns, we say the words, but we don't listen. Lord, have mercy. We teach and preach your word, but we don't listen carefully for you. In the still quiet and in the noisy day, we don't listen for you. Lord, have mercy. We are so busy trying to shout above the noise of the day to have our solitary voices heard that we don't take time to really listen and know you. Lord, have mercy. The voices of the prophets spoke to people long ago who were too busy and anxious to hear, Their words streamed in the winds of time and have come to us. We need to pay attention to your messages offered through them. Lord, have mercy. You are our God, the God of all creation, the God of power and love and grace, whose mercy is offered to us. Jesus proclaimed the good news through the words and actions, reaching out to those who were troubled, alienated, cast aside. He offered healing and hope to those who were turned away. Lord, have mercy. Help us to learn that you alone can heal us and fix those areas in our lives that are wounded and twisted. Help us to understand that you alone can offer us a new way of life through Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy.